this afternoon to pay honor and give honor to Corey. I know that some people were a little bit late coming because of the Winter Carnival and the traffic, so thank you for arriving, and we're going to get started fairly close on time. But on behalf of Fred and Glennis and Ralph and their families, I want to welcome you to this time of celebration of the life of Cornelia Voss, or Corey, to us who are gathered here. It's a celebration which we did not anticipate so soon after the gathering here just 3 months ago for the celebration of the life of Dick. But in a sense, it made perfect sense, given the 61 years of life that they shared together and will now share through eternity. The obituary in the paper was very simple and sort of like Corey, who never wanted to make a fuss over her, never wanted a fuss made over her. Born January 31st, 1932, and passed into glory on January 31st, 2014, on her birthday, at the age of 82 years. Not much else on the obituary other than the genuine heartfelt thanks to the medical staff of VGAH and Vernon Hospice House, with special thanks to Dr. Friesen, Dr. Ken Upton, and Dr. Van Ziel, says who cared for Corey in friendship and medicine. And Corey really had a way of she was never a patient, she was a friend. And we really honor that. Well, Corey, we are making a fuss over you today to honor you and your faith in God, your friendship, and your loving commitment to your family. I wonder if we could just bow our heads and we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life and the privilege we have today to honor a life which was guided, carried, provided for, and influenced by and for you. We pray your peace will be with us, your love will comfort us, and your Spirit guide us in our thoughts, our sharing, and our prayers. We declare, Lord, that you are the Good Shepherd who said would never leave us nor forsake us. May your comfort be with us, and may your joy strengthen us as we celebrate a life well lived. We give this time into your loving hands, and may you be glorified. We ask these things in the wonderful and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to be start our time this afternoon singing a hymn, Take My Life. We do it a little bit differently here. But we encourage you, if you feel you can stay seated or you can stand, whichever way you feel comfortable. We're going to be singing three hymns today, and all three of them were actually favorite hymns of Corey's as she fellowshipped here with us. So please feel free to enter in.
Let's stand together. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, and Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever own. I love you, Lord.
I love you, love you, love you, love you, Lord.
This is a little piece we used to just tag on at the end of this song.
I love you, love you, love you, love you, Lord.
We'll just sing that one more time.
I love
Good afternoon. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Fred. I tried to meet all of you at the front door and just sort of introduce our family to you. And I know a lot of you folks have been here about 90 days ago when my dad passed away. So here we are again celebrating my mom's life. So on behalf of our family, thank you for coming together today to honor and celebrate my mom, Corey Voss's life. I want to especially acknowledge those family members who traveled up from the coast to be here this afternoon and friends who came in to support us as well. As I said, I find this moment strangely familiar as I stood here in November talking to many of you about my father. My mom was a unique lady, but extremely unique. She wasn't only unique, she was extremely unique. She began her life in Holland, being the second oldest daughter, but the primary go-to daughter for her mother, as her mom's older sister, Alice, was not always in good health, and mom's father had passed away when mom was a young teen. Mom's family, along with dad, immigrated to Canada and settled in Alberta. And after the sudden passing of mom's mother, mom found her responsible for her older, sickly sister, Alice, and her younger brother, Ernie. Following the death of Alice, mom and dad and Ernie moved to British Columbia. And in Vancouver, mom made a home and raised Ralph, Glennis, and myself. My recollection of mom from an early age was that she was extremely organized and extremely creative. As many of you know, mom could sew anything and make it look like $1 million. More than a few folks have benefited from mom's skills as a seamstress. And mom also had a real knack for picking the right paint scheme and color, adding a few inexpensive articles here and there in a home and making the room pop and look perfect. And just running through the house the last little few days, we've just seen the examples of mom's attention to detail and just how she could just throw something in there and it would just make things look perfect. Now I can share this. The only time mom ever had a problem with decorating that I saw was in an early experimental creative period when she found a long dead section of a tree and decorated it with Christmas bulbs and declared that this would be our family Christmas tree. Personally, as a youngster, I was horrified. As I recall, I didn't invite any friends over that Christmas for fear of being teased about my Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And those folks that know me know that I often talk about this horrific tree. And to this day, it has to be a live tree in the house. I will not have a fake tree or a dead tree in my house. The upside of this, I found the picture of this tree, of this Yuletide folly. And I've added it to the video presentation. The proof is in the pudding. Seriously, though, my mom would get a kick knowing that I found a picture of it and then added it to the presentation. Mom really did think that was creative. Mom also had a flair for getting the most out of her gardens. Those that knew Mom knew that she loved her gardens. I knew that my days weeding would bear fruit now, as I weed our gardens with the same abandon and enthusiasm as I did when I was a youngster in Mom's garden. You don't really believe that, do you? No. I've picked pounds and pounds of weeds from Mom's garden. As a youngster growing up, there are many things you take for granted, especially with respect to my mom. I took for granted every lunch my mom packed for me for school, every hot evening meal, except pea soup and liver. Those, I was not terribly grateful for those. But you know what? The list of gratefulness goes on and on. Mom also made sure that I toed the line, and if I was caught, and this goes for Glennis and Ralph too, but I can only speak personally for myself. If I was caught, and I was always caught, in some act of disobedience and willfulness, Mom would apply the correct measure of correction and punishment mixed with a little bit of love. And I recognized that I could not have become the man I am without my mom's firm, steady hand on my shoulder and sometimes on my behind. As many of you know, Mom also became a motherly figure and inspiration to many young women and men in St. Margaret's and West Coast Fellowship. Mentoring and nurturing was her way with young people. The great thing about Mom is that she would be honest with all people all the time. She called everything as she saw it. There are many folks that have been supportive of my parents, and especially with my mom after Dad's passing. You know, special thanks again for Yana Meston, who's just been an absolute rock for Mom, visiting her, you know, allowing us to phone her cell phone so we could talk to Mom in the hospital when we weren't able to be here. And Ray, for all his support. But, you know, it's to all of you who are all a part of my mom's life. Lucky you, and thank you. All in all, I count myself pretty fortunate to have had my mother all these years, and 54 years is a long time. I know I don't look that old. But you know what? My mom was a terrific lady. Thank you.
First off, I'm the crier in the family. It's allowed. Everybody gets that position, right? But I think I'm okay. I want to tell you about the gifts my mom gave me. The list is quite long, as you can imagine, and I have to say, I did not really appreciate all of them as at the time of receiving them, often in the form of life lessons or being shown that what I wanted wasn't quite right for me, or perhaps at the time, or it wasn't being done the right way. But there are two gifts that I want to share with you today. The first gift my mom gave me was my name. Not a name that many have had, let alone heard for many years of my life. Not a name that I could say I even liked for the first 20 or so years of my life. But then one day, I understood. The weird name became the unique name and it allowed me to take pride and confidence in my own uniqueness of personality and character. The second gift my mom gave me came in the form of two simple words, understated elegance. And I know many of us here today have heard Mom say these words, and each of us have a different understanding and appreciation for what they mean. One definition I found was, an understated elegance is one that is not garish, loud, obvious, or even ubiquitous. It's an elegance that is subtly chic and doesn't cry for attention. It's so strong that it impresses people without even one single word discussed on it. For me, what comes first to mind is about the clothes I wore and how I wore them. Mom was an exceptional seamstress. She had gone to school for pattern making and design as a teenager in Holland. So I grew up with perfectly fitting, custom-tailored, tasteful, stylish clothes. Or so I say now. As a kid, I referred to them as homemade. I couldn't wait to get my first store-bought clothes. which ended up being a pair of star jeans for my 12th birthday. No more homemade clothes for me to begin high school with. But I also learned from that, be careful what you wish for. From then on, nothing fit just right, and alterations cost more than clothes themselves sometimes. But I was a teenage girl, and there was no going back. Until here came high school graduation. And by then, we had all accepted my addiction to shoes. Almost every Saturday, I came home with a new pair. So when I walked into the house one Saturday afternoon declaring I had found the perfect shoes I had to wear for graduation, oh, they were beautiful. Periwinkle gray suede slingbacks. But I digress, sorry. Mom knew it was her responsibility to find the material that would match them. That was a three-weekend going from store to store, shoe-in-hand endeavor, but we did indeed find the perfect material and the perfect three patterns, one for the top front, one for the top back, and one for the skirt. It really was perfect. And true to Mom's form, I felt elegant as I walked onto the stage to accept my graduation certificate, no one else in the room possibly having the same dress. Mom was a strong woman who did everything with determination. Some would say stubborn. Okay, that would often be me as well over the years. But her Dutch stoic ways were joked about even in the last month with the doctors. But how amazing it was to see that this allowed her to peacefully and graciously accept her diagnosis. To know that this journey would soon be over and the time to be back with Dad would soon arrive. I miss my mom terribly already, as well as my dad. But I am proud to tell anyone who is willing to listen that I was their daughter. And through all of life's good and bad times, they loved me unconditionally. Thank you.
Let's stand again.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
the Lord, oh, my soul.
We're just going to be showing a PowerPoint presentation that, and look for the Christmas tree.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more. And I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Trees of green.
It's so good we want
red.
So good we want to see it again. That was marvelous. A lot of good memories. We're going to have an opportunity now for three people in particular to share, and I'm going to ask Sarah Sarah Maynard. Sarah, come on up, and you and Mike can come up and share.
So, Fred, I wonder would that Christmas tree be worth on eBay today? Nothing? No? No good? Exactly. So my name is Mike Maynard. I've known the Vosses for 40 years, and just want to share a little bit about Corey. I'd be honored today to talk about a very gracious lady who now resides in heaven. I've known Corey Voss for 40 years. In that time, she has blessed me in a number of ways, including some mothering. Corey was a woman of insight. She could assess a situation very quickly and act accordingly. Her kind heart was always at the ready to reach out and be available. One of her many strengths was the ability to speak frankly without offense. One of the few people I've ever seen be able to do that. This allowed you to feel non-threatened and relaxed, and you can automatically connect on a trust level with her. Corey was a woman of humor. There are many times when I have personally laughed with her when she and I were the only ones in the room who got it. She and Dick will forever have a place in my heart.
When I think about what Glennis shared about the gifts that her mom gave her, I feel as though when I consider Corey, I would say that she's been a huge gift to me and to Mike, that her life, her friendship, her heart, her warmth have been exactly what I needed in times of real weakness and vulnerability. In our 20s, Corey really stepped in to mother us. And we were both from kind of ragged homes, didn't have a lot of modeling of healthy mothering. Even just how to do simple things in the home wasn't really demonstrated and modeled. And Corey swept us up into that mother's heart of hers, where there was so much room, not just for her own children, but for many, many others. And as was mentioned earlier, there was many that she mentored in the church and just trained us and taught us simple things that we just didn't have a clue on. She generously invested wisdom, prayer, elbow grease. I remember one time when Mike and I had purchased it was the only home we could afford in Ladner, and it was the reason that it was so cheap. Ray, you're smiling because you remember. The reason it was so cheap is because you walked in the door and you were overcome with the smell, and it was not a nice smell. The place was absolutely filthy. They had all kinds of animals in it. But Dick and Corey were our dear friends and house group leaders, and they stepped up and worked with us day after day after day, ripping out carpets and stripping off wallpaper and scrubbing down grease-laden appliances. They served and worked, and just that was such an expression of their heart and their love. They invested prayer in our lives. They invested so much hospitality and tremendous kindness. I always felt with Dick and Corey that there was no judgment, there was no critical eye, and no matter what, they were always there for us. Didn't matter how we had messed up or made mistakes, they would always back us up. For me especially, she coached me in pretty much everything pertaining to establishing a home as a young wife and a new mother. I hadn't been raised around little kids, and so I really didn't know what I was doing at all. She taught me simple ways to decorate with thrift store finds and, try to follow in her footsteps with her tremendous decorating flair was a challenge, but she taught me a few tricks, which was just amazing. She taught me the Dutch principle of, if you clean the corners, everything else takes care of itself. So I've got clean corners and a messy house. It wasn't actually working for me, but she did teach me a few other things as well. And she taught us, and it wasn't just Mike and I, of course, it was all of the young women in our house group, but I think she poured especially into my life, just taking care of babies. I can remember at one point our friend Candy Riley, their little daughter Elizabeth, had put her foot down and decided that she was only going to eat bananas. This was her diet from now on. And Corey's simple, earthy, common sense that just put everything in balance just simply said to Candy, "So who's the parent?" And that simple question put everything in a line. And we knew that Elizabeth was not going to be just eating bananas anymore, but when she got hungry, she was going to be eating everything that she was supposed to. I still have homemade baby blankets, teddy bears, peony bulbs in my garden, and a beautiful pine cone wreath hanging over our fireplace. And these are the gifts that Corey's given over the years. These are touches of a mother's and a grandmother's love that I will always treasure. And so, Corey, I just say you've done well, you've loved well, and you've finished the course well.
I think everyone is saying exactly what's on my heart. I've known Corey for about 35 years. It's a long time. And like Glennis, we talked earlier, I'm not going to cry. I know. She was a good friend to me, like she is to so many people. And I just have some things that I want to share that I remember that will always be in my mind and heart regarding her. She always involved our daughters, Heather and Christine, in all of our visits. Every Sunday we had lunch together, and she always blessed them and involved them. I was just remembering a picture that she got for Christine when she was, I'm not sure how old she was, but talking about gifts, Corey knew how to give just the right gift. She knew Christine well to be able to give her this gift. It was a beautiful little picture of a girl with her hair in pigtails and a dress, a really flowery dress, and she was riding on a skateboard. And I thought, wow, she just knew who Christine was and still is, I think. But even in her last hours, she was asking me about our family. And that's just the way she always was. She's given me many gifts. She's given me gifts that I still have. Some of them are in Africa. Some of them are in boxes. Still, because we don't have a permanent home yet. But those are gifts that she thoughtfully gave that I still use, just like Sarah's mentioning. Things that will always be with me and mean a lot. I just want to say that for Corey, she would always see the positive things. She would be able to do that with people. She would never criticize. She would always look for ways to say something positive. And in her home and over the years, I've seen how she's taken pieces of furniture from junkyards or garage sales, and her and Dick would refinish them and work hard on them, and they would be beautiful, just like you would go better than what you'd find in a furniture store. And she would usually recover things, and she just saw the beauty in everything. She could go to junkyards and find art pieces that were amazing. And she did that with people's lives, too. She would see people. She would not see the junk. She would see the beauty. And she taught me a lot with that. She would say, wherever you go, even if it's in a motel room or in a cabin or wherever, make it a home. Take a candle, take flowers, find a vase. She would say, you can always tell if there's love in a home by how it looks on the outside. These are things that will never leave my mind. They're always there. And even when I go to do dishes, she says, you're always decorating. Do you want to always have the soap dispenser by the sink? I never do that. I always put it underneath. And that was Corey. The first time I met her, I was just fresh from the Queen Charlotte Islands. I had my hiking boots and my pink woven poncho. And I went into a ladies' meeting at West Coast Church. And all these ladies were all dressed up, and I was in my hiking boots. And she was decorating. It was a little bit early, and she was decorating a table, and she had this tablecloth. And she put it on, but she didn't just put it on. She kind of turned it sort of at an angle. And I thought, wow, there's a whole lot of ways to do things that I didn't know. And she just, and then she put this vase on this table, but not in the middle like I would have done. She kind of put it to the side. And that picture has always stayed with me, that there's always a beautiful way to do things, even with very little. And that's been her life. She has blessed me. And she's left a legacy to all of us. And I just want to say to the family, she always spoke so lovingly to all of you and believed in you. And there's things that, well, you know all that. But I just want to say that she's just been a wonderful friend and a wonderful lady. And she's left something very beautiful with all of us. And I've been really challenged in these last days to, what am I going to do with my life? Am I going to, you know, just learn from all of these things and just keep going and give to others the way she's given to me? And I felt challenged by that. The last time I spoke to her, she was in hospice, but she wasn't speaking very, very clearly, but I just whispered, "Corey, tomorrow's your birthday." And she said, "I think I'm going to celebrate in heaven." And I thought, yeah, she probably will. And she did. She went. And the last thing I saw of her was, Glennis and Fred will know that, but it had been very foggy, foggy days, and all of a sudden it was a sunny day. And I went in the morning of her birthday, and she was laying in a sun-filled room with this beautiful, beautiful quilt. And I thought, isn't that amazing? This beautiful sewn quilt with pinks and purples. And it was just, she looked like a little girl. And I just thought, this is the most beautiful picture that I want to be left with, because it just epitomized who Corey was, with all this beautiful things around her, flowers and sunshine. And I'll miss her. Am I thankful for her life?
This beautiful person beside me is Jenna Meston, and she was very close to Mom and Dad, and a great support when Dad was sick, and then later when Mom became sick, Jenna was visiting a couple times a day. Jenna just asked me to read something that she wrote, and so here we go. Titus 2, verses 3 and 4. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. The Lord put three godly mentors in my life, and Corey was one of them. She knew the Bible, applied biblical principles to her life, and lived out what she had learned. She was a mentor that loved the Lord and led by her word and example. She didn't slander or demean others through gossip or negative words. She was a wise woman and had great discernment, and her desire was to do the will of God. She was not greedy with that godliness. She always shared her love of God with me, sometimes even as chastisements. And I've had a few of those. Mom would say, "Yana, have you prayed about that?" was a phrase she often used. She had been a mentor and mother figure for me since 1996, participating in every part of our family life. I will always cherish the times we had, and to quote her, "This is not a goodbye, but till we meet again." When I get sad, I will think about this and know that she is in the loving arms of Jesus. Thank you, Anna.
It's in the inside of your bulletin, a picture. I actually have the original here, which is something very special for Corey. It was a favorite of Corey's, so much that she made it clear that it was one that she did not want given away. And it got me thinking about this scripture in John chapter 10. The day that Corey passed into glory, she had not opened her eyes all that day. She was still very aware of what was around her, however, but her eyes were closed the whole time. And just before she drew her last breath, she opened her eyes wide, and I believe saw something which then made it okay to go. I believe she saw this very door, which had been a door for her throughout her life, a door of expectation, a door of promise, and now was a door which would lead her into eternal joy and peace. And she saw the one who was standing at the door ready to welcome her. We had talked to Corey the day before, reminding of her birthday, and as Marianne said, the next day, and she had remarked that perhaps she would indeed have a big celebration. Well, she did. And is, and it continues forever. One of the things that she asked me to do as we celebrate this thing was to share something that was very, very important to her, and it had to do with this door. And she wanted to ask the question, what does it mean that he is the door for us? In John chapter 10, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, and there have been many who claim to give what only I can give, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And that's in John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us again in John 14:6. "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." I am the door, he's saying. And if you believe in me and trust me to be the only path to God, I promise you two things. You will be saved, and you will go in and out and find pasture. Safe from the wolves and the thieves and those who come to kill and destroy. Safe from every enemy that would destroy you. And even death, the last enemy. Which is why Paul could write in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Death is swallowed up in victory." And if anything I could say about Corey, death has been swallowed up in victory. And even that in Romans 8, it says that death cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Enter by me and you will be forever safe. When you think about it, none of us wants to be merely safe. I don't know about you, but I don't want my life just to be safe. Because we were not created merely to be safe. Our human heart wants intensely more and infinitely more than safety. Yes, safety is basic and safety is necessary, but we want to be more than protected from what can destroy us. We want life. And we want more than mere life. We want abundant life. We want overflowing life. We want a deep life. We want significant life. We want joyful life. We don't just want to survive, we want to thrive. And this is the life that we celebrate today, a life that thrived. And so Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Yes, and so much more, and will go in and out and find pasture. The point of saying this is that the sheepfold, that where the sheep are gathered into, represents safety and protection. But as sheep, we don't want to stay there. In fact, they will die. And the fact is, sheep will die if they just stay in the safety of the sheepfold. They want green pastures. They want still waters. And as it says in Psalm 23, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. It was Psalm 23 that Corey often would ask me, could you just read that again? And I think when Jesus says in verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, He means I came that they might be saved and go out and come and find pasture, protection and plenty, solid safety and deep soul satisfaction. See, abundant life is not about having stuff. And I think Corey was very good. She had very good stuff, but it wasn't stuff to her. It isn't about having stuff. It's about having peace and having joy and having God. And oh my, did Corey have this and much, much more. I mean, the testimony in the hospital, all the times I see it, the nurses would even comment to me and say, I've never seen someone in so much peace. We believe that Jesus is the only door to eternal safety, the only door to soul-satisfying pleasures, the only door to God. And Corey entered into that door, and it again was the door she saw even as she drew her very last breath here on earth. And what did it mean for Jesus to be Corey's shepherd? The answer is that she knew that that shepherd had laid down his life for the sheep. In verse 14 and 15, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. He is bound to his sheep, just as he is bound to the Father. He can no more lose them, he can no more lose us, than he can lose the Father. And to save them, he has laid down his life. But God knows and Jesus knows. And you know that if the shepherds die, the sheep are at the mercy of the wolves. They will be scattered and they will die. But our shepherd, Corey's shepherd, says in verse 18, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. The Father sent him to die for his sheep. The Father also commanded that he not abandon his sheep, but rise from the dead. And he did, for Corey, for you, and for me. And that is why we can go in and we can go out with him. He died for our sins. He died for Corey's sins, so that we are forgiven and have access to God each and every day. He was raised to be the great shepherd of the sheep, today alive, leading us again and again to protection and pasture, as he did for Corey, life and abundant life. And so as we celebrate the life of Corey today and remember her, we must also remember that we have the opportunity each and every day to live a life that is an abundant life to the glory of God, which will lead us to that eternal life which Corey is now enjoying with Dick, who went ahead of her. I want to close and just read a poem, and I actually have it here for you, Glennis and Fred, a poem which Mark Wadsworth wrote in memory of Corey, and it's called Lifetimes. There's a time we get to spend on earth with our family and our friends. This time seems like forever, but then this lifetime ends. Somehow time that seems so long is over in an instant. And I'm sure when we go home at last, this lifetime will seem distant. God gives us all a purpose to accomplish here on earth. That was established in the heavens long before our birth. Lifetimes are all planned with a beginning and an end, but that is only life on earth, for then we will ascend. into the everlasting life God promised through his son. And now for Corey Voss, the good life's just begun. Marg, a wonderful poem. Corey, we honor you, the life that you shared with us, and we look forward to sharing eternity with you on that day. Bob, come. We're just going to close with a hymn, and then Charlie's going to lead us in prayer. And just want to encourage you, we have refreshments and everything. We're going to be setting up just after we have the closing prayer, so give us a little opportunity to set some tables up. But we invite you all to stay and fellowship with the family and with
Let's stand again one more time.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale,
solid rock.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
As I was praying this morning, I was thinking, what would Corey want to say to us? And I was reminded of these verses. The psalmist is writing, but I can imagine Corey saying this. You hold me, talking to God, you hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. As I read that, I was thinking of the last months of visiting with her, and I know the care that she has for you, Glynis, and you, Fred, and Ralph, and the family. It was so clear she was looking forward to her time in glory, But she said over and over again she would, I mean, not in a worried way, but just her care and concern for you guys into the future. But I do believe she would say, and earth has nothing I desire besides you, my God. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Our Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, you who comfort us in all our troubles, I thank you that you have received Corrie, our friend, our mother, to yourself. Lord, we look forward to the days when separation is done away with and death is finally done away with. Father, I ask that you would pour out your peace and your comfort upon each one of us. Lord, we would know your presence and your strength. Lord, the love that we've received over the years from Corrie and Dirk, Lord, we know their testimony would be, it's the love of my Father that you're hearing, you're receiving, you're seeing. Father, continue that love into our lives. Father, remind us in days and weeks and months and years to come, remind us of our friend Corrie and her husband Dirk, our friend. Bless us, keep us, watch over us, and stir us with your love and your fellowship today and forever. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're just going to take a few moments and set up some things. Please, there'll be coffee and everything set up, and then we'll be setting out a tea for everybody to enjoy. And we encourage you to stay and take part in that. And Lord, we just ask your blessing on our fellowship and that you would strengthen us as we encourage one another. Amen.